Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying about dreams and visions, visitations, and hypnosis. Many times, God puts man in a state of hypnosis in his dream time. God has transported people through time and let them see events that were going to take place thousands of years in the future. God inspired men like Isaiah and Ezekiel to see what God did in thousands of years before time. Ezekiel 14 and Isaiah 28 tells us about what Satan did in eternity past. Dreams and visions. Now today, many people believe that people are still having visions of God and dreams, and that they are going to come true. We know that in the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church and all the charismatic movement throughout all kinds of churches. There's always visions, there's always messages. They feel very powerful when they think that they can interpret this and they can interpret the future like they're some type of prophet. That type of idea comes right out of Satan's own pocketbook. If you go to the book of Numbers and the 13th chapter, misplaced that chapter in my Bible here. Let me go tell you what it says. Deuteronomy 13th chapter. There it is. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder. Now this is a real sign and a real wonder, people. And the sign or wonder actually comes true. Concerning which he spoke to you, let us go after other gods of whom you have not known. Let us serve them. Now, the God of the Catholicism is not the God of the Bible. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Jehovah's Witness is not the God of the Bible. The God of Mormonism is not the God of the Bible. Yet all of these people have visions. The charismatic movement, very few people in the charismatic movement, and I don't really know of any leaders that believe in security of believer or salvation by grace at all, which is contrary to the Word of God. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love him. The Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Signs and wonders intrigue people. They intrigue people. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments and listen to his voice and serve him and cling to him. And how do we know that? From the revealed, really foundational Word of God is how we do that. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery and to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. He said, if your brother or your mother's son or your daughter or your wife you cherish or your friend who is your own soul, entice you secretly, saying, let us go after other gods, whom neither you or your fathers have known. Of the gods of the peoples who are around you, or near you, or far from you, or to the end of the earth, or whatever. You shall not yield to him or listen to him. and your eye shall not pity him, nor shall you spare or conceal him. You shall surely kill him. Your own hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So you shall stone him in death, because he has sought to seduce you from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Now, this prescription for what a real prophet is still valid today, but we don't go around killing people today. There wouldn't be any Jehovah Witnesses left in the land if we killed all of them. There wouldn't be any Mormons in the land, and there are good Mormons, there are good Jehovah Witnesses as far as people go, but their doctrines are doctrines of hell. The Catholic Church has completely perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ into a menagerie of hellish devices. Now, we've studied many times church history and the evolution of theology. Let's go into the Bible now and see some true valid dreams. True valid dreams that were sent by God. Genesis 41. We're talking about Joseph's life. We're talking about the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. The word Pharaoh, it means the man in the big house. Now, it happened at the end of full 2 years that Pharaoh had a dream. Now, we had the baker and the butler had dreams, and the baker was going to die, and he was hung, and the vultures ate his flesh off his bones, as Joseph had predicted from the dream that he had. Now, the butler, he said, "Don't forget me when you go into Pharaoh's house. Tell Pharaoh that I've been in prison wrongly and all of this, etc., etc." Well, the butler or the cupbearer forgot about it. But now 2 whole years go by, and by the way, Joseph becomes the what we might call the warden of the prison. Now, it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he was standing by the Nile River. And lo, from the Nile there came 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, 7 other cows came up, and after them from the Nile, ugly and skinny, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile River. And the ugly and the skinny cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows, and then Pharaoh woke up. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain came up in a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears thin and scorched by the east wind sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up all the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up again, and behold, it was a vision, a dream, a hypnotic trance. Now it came about in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And so he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. Now, by the way, all these magicians were on the payroll. He's paying them all the time. And all his wise men and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was not one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. God blocked them. This was a dream sent by God. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, "I would make a mention today of my own offenses." And Pharaoh was furious with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, and both me and the chief baker. And we had a dream on the same night, and he and I each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. God sent these dreams too. Now Satan sends dreams. Do you think that Muhammad dreamed up all of this stuff on his own? You think Joseph Smith dreamed up all of his shenanigans on his own and his false interpretations and the Book of Mormon and the doctrines and pearl of great price and all his so-called revelations? How about Charles Taze Russell, Mary Ellen White? This is that, Amy McPherson. Now, a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and related to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one, he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came about that just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. And it restored me to my office, but he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Now, by the way, the Egyptians were a very clean people. They took baths all the time. They bathed in the Nile River, or they bathed at home in baths if they were wealthy. And they shaved themselves all over. And the Hebrews grew beards and hair. So they had to clean Joseph up and make him look like a Egyptian so he could come before. They didn't want some scraggly, dirty Jew standing in front of Pharaoh. He changed his clothes, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I've had a dream. But no one can interpret it, and I've heard it said to you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Now see what Joseph says. Joseph then answers Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. The interpretation is not in me, but God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." God, Elohim, Jehovah. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, "In my dream, behold, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. And behold, seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile, and they gazed into the marsh grass. And behold, seven other cows came up also, poor and very ugly and skinny, such as I have never seen for ugliness in all the land of Egypt. The lean and the ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. Yet when they had devoured them, it could not be detected that they had devoured anything, for they were just as skinny and ugly as before that I woke up. And I saw also in my dream, and behold, seven ears full and good came up on a single stalk. And lo, behold, seven ears withered and scorched by the east wind sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up all the seven good ears. And then I told it to the magicians, but there was not one who could explain it to me." Satan actually can do this, but God blocked Satan. If the dreams are from the dark side, the interpretation comes from the dark side. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what is about to take place and what he's going to have to do. And the seven good cows and seven are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years, and the dreams are one and the same. And the seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. And it is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh that he is what he's about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt. And then, after 7 years, famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the time because of subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it to pass. Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and set him over all the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth, 20% of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. 20% tax. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Because there are going to need to be guards now. And let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom there is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See that I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee," and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. You are the king of all Egypt," in other words. And Pharaoh named Joseph Tsarnathpaneh. In other words, that means Savior of the World. Soter ho kosmos in Greek. Savior of the World. In Coptic, it is Tsarnathpaneh. And he gave him Asenath, Asenath. Her name means God of hindsight. And the daughter of Potipharah, priest of Or, own that is, as his wife, and Joseph went forth on all the land of Egypt. Joseph is a type of Christ Jesus in many, many ways. Now Joseph was 30 years old as Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. And he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly, by handfuls, literally. And so he gathered all the food there for the 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt, and placed the food in the cities. These are the storage cities. And he placed in every city the food from its surrounding fields. There were great silos throughout the lands, Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. Now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. And by the way, the priest owned a tremendous amount of the best land in Egypt. They were not taxed in any way. And these were this was a city unto the sun god. And Pharaoh caused Joseph to marry into this priestly line. And in this priestly line, Joseph continued to take care of them throughout all of the famine. Now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to him. And Joseph made the first one Manasseh. God caused me forget all of my trouble in all of my father's household. And he named the second son Ephraim. And that means double fruitful. For he said that God has made me fruitful in all the land of my affliction. And when the 7 years of plenty, which had been in the land of Egypt, came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said, there was a famine in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. There was wheat. There was grain. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, and all the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, you shall do. And when famine was spread over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. And the people of all of the known earth came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was so severe in all of the land. And now we come back to Jacob. And Jacob says that he saw that there was grain in Egypt. And Jacob says, he says, why are you standing there looking at one another? Get down there and get some grain. Get down to Egypt and get some grain. Bold have heard that there is grain in Egypt, so go down there and buy some for us from the place so that we may live and not starve to death and die. Then 10 brothers of Joseph went down to buy grain from Egypt. The 10 brothers of Joseph. But not Benjamin. The father didn't. Jacob did not trust them with Benjamin. He already lost one son to them. Now, Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with all his brothers. He said, I'm afraid that harm may befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy grain from those who were coming from the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the ruler of all the land, and he was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground, just like the dreams of Joseph said. All the family of Joseph would bow down to him, just like God had proved to him. And when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly. And he said to them, where are you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. But Joseph had recognized his brothers, although they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dream which he had about them, and he said to them, you are spies who have come here to look over and the undefended parts of my land. And they said to him, no, my lord, but your servant have come to buy food. We're all sons of one man. We are honest men. What a joke. We are honest men. Yeah. your servants are not spies. Yet he said to them, no, but you have come to look at the undefended parts of our land. But they said, your servants are 12 brothers in all, and the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. And Joseph said to them, it is as I said to you, you are spies. By this you will be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place until your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you that he may go get your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested whether there is truth in you. But if not, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. And let's see what they're thinking. Now, Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. I fear Elohim. An Egyptian fearing Elohim? If you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in your prison. But as for the rest of you, carry grain for the famine of your household. And bring your youngest brother to me, so your words may be verified, and you will not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, truly, we are guilty concerning our brother. Their guilty consciences. You know, the best companion is a clear conscience. They didn't have one. Because you saw the dreams of his soul, and he pleaded with us. Because we saw the distress of his soul, and when he pleaded to us, and we would not listen, therefore this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not tell you? Reuben, the one that actually raped his stepmother. Did I not say, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Now comes the reckoning for his blood. They did not know, however, that Joseph understood, for there was an interpreter between them. And he turned away from them and he wept. But when he returned to them, he spoke to them. He took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Simeon was one of the guilty ones, wasn't he? He's one. Simeon and Levi are the ones that went in and killed all the men in Shechem. So now he's going to punish him. Then Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain and to restore every man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for their journey. And thus it was done for them. So they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed from there. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder or food, at the lodging place, he saw his money, and behold, it was in the mouth of the sack. Then he said to his brothers, my money has been returned, and behold, it is even my sack. And their hearts sank. Again, the guilty conscience. And they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is this that God has done to us? What is this that God has done to us? When they came to their father Jacob, the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man, the Lord of the land, spoke harshly and roughly and ugly with us. And he took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers and sons, and one of us is no more, and the youngest is with our father today in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the land, said to us, by this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, and take grain from the famine of your households, and go. By the way, they don't think it quite bothered Jacob so much that this ungodly, murderous son of his. But bring your youngest brother with me, and I may know that you are not spies, but honest men, and I will give you your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Now it came about as they were emptying their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they had their fathers saw the bundles of money, They were dismayed. God is after us. And their father, Jacob, said to them, "You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more and Simeon is no more. And you would take Benjamin? All these things are against me. I'm not going to let you take Benjamin. I don't trust you. What's going on here? You got all your money back? You want to buy this stuff and here's all your money with you. What have you guys done? What are you boys up to now?" Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, "You may put my sons to death. If I do not bring him back to you, put him in my care, and I will return him to you." But Jacob said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he alone left. And if harm should come and befall him on the journey you are taking, then you will bring my gray hairs down to Sheol in sorrow." Boy, these boys are suffering, aren't they? Because of what they did. Their sins found them out. And they did not know what was going on, but they knew God knew, didn't they? They didn't know what was going on, but they knew God was after them. God was calling the chickens back to roost. The chickens had come home to roost. Their sins had come back on their heads. It's that way in all things, people. You think you're slipping around and getting around God when you do ungodly deeds and sins. You're not getting by with it. God will find you out. It'll creep into your heart with guilt and unrest. Our Father, we send this message out throughout the world that you honor your word and you bring fruit from it. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. And thank you for the conviction of sin in our hearts. And guide us, prompt us, spur us along the way and guide us that we may follow you. In Jesus' name we pray.